Beamish and Finley, 11:06 a.m. Make sure you're following us on social media. I am at JP Finley NBCS on Instagram. He is at BMitch30 on Instagram. A lot going on in the world. We try to have fun and show it all there. Our guy Thor Nystrom from NBC Sports Edge just brought heat.
He brought it.
Mac Jones, not a first rounder. He's Andy Dalton. I want to do. Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. People want quarterbacks. Washington needs one. Ryan Fitzpatrick is not the long-term answer, but he is an answer.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open. 800-636-1067. Gambit DC listener lines. 800-636-1067. Let's go to our guy, Jordan. Jordan, what's up, pal?
Yep. I knew you were about to call me, man, because you saw San Antonio, right?
Sure.
I think a really good comparison with this Joe Burrow thing and Mac Jones, I think Joe Burrow really planted a seed in some executives' head, maybe even some coaches, just because they're both people who have sat behind, had time to sit in college, rather. Sorry, I just dropped my phone.
It's all right.
And then once they got their shot, have arguably outperformed their predecessors before them. They both had time to sit. So maybe, and the quarterback's a position where that's kind of the exception. They're kind of the exception of the rule. I mean, when they come into the draft, they want young, spry. They want people who can be there for a long time, right? I mean, quarterbacks, they don't really take the beating. Brandon Weeden was drafted when he was 30 years old. You know what I mean? So it's just one of those things. They stick around a lot longer. So, they're seasoned, perhaps. Maybe that's what they like. They like the fact that they've sat out and have able to surpass somebody that they were behind.
All right. Thank you for the call, Jordan.
I don't know if Mac Jones outperformed Tua, though. See, it's something about having that little, like you said earlier, like Chase Young called that dude. When you saw Joe Burrow play, although he was with all those damn good players, you always said that dude there can play. Same thing with Tua. A lot of other quarterbacks. When you see some quarterbacks, you go, he's surrounded by people. You don't normally say, look at what he can do without.
Yeah. You're kind of talking eye test, right, yeah, with Mac Jones. Because the numbers, straight numbers, he was better than Tua.
Yeah.
But the eye test of Tua's playmaking ability.
There you go.
And just running around and doing. And I think some of it, the way Tua entered that game his freshman year and brought them back.
Yeah.
I mean, that also made such an impact on kind of his legacy as a player. The other stuff I found really interesting from Thor, one, the Micah Parsons conversation was fascinating. And it makes some sense. If you're in a draft room, all right, you want Zaven Collins, you want Micah Parsons. Well, coach, I got him even, but
remember this stuff.
Everybody loves Collins, and you remember what happened with Parsons. Yeah. Like, that could make an impact.
And I think what you have to understand, for any kid out there listening or parent to talk to your kid, be careful of the little things that may come back to haunt. And a lot of times today, it's off-field stuff. It's stupid things on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and all that. Be careful. So whenever you get into a position where you're equal with somebody, they judge you based off of your talents, not some stupid thing you did when you were a little younger.
Absolutely. Let's go to Josh in Alexandria. Josh, what's up, buddy? You're on the Gambit DC listener lines.
What's going on, gentlemen? Thanks for taking the call.
Hey,
JP, if better hope I don't run into you, man, because I've been listening since day one. You owe me a whole hell of a lot of beers.
We'll make it up to you, dude. Once the world opens back up, I'm just going to buy some kegs, go out in the field, and just invite whoever wants to come.
Fantastic.
That's
I'm there, man. I'm
in
there.
Case lawyers are listening. I don't actually plan
hypothetically
on it.
Speaking.
Hypothetically,
for
yes.
For sure. But, yeah, when it comes to draft day, man, I'm all in on Christian Darrisaw. I think if he's there at 19, that guy's a can't-miss talent, and it fills a position to need. I'm kind of wanting to get a quarterback day two. But I was just kind of curious as to, like, why a guy like Kyle Trask is kind of plummeted down draft boards. I thought, and maybe I'm wrong, but he was supposed to be like a top 10 pick when the college season concluded. I don't know if that's got to do with Mac Jones and Trey Lance rocketing up people's projected boards and stuff, but I am out on a guy like Trey Lance. I know he's a great athlete, but this is a passing league. And if you look at his game log, you know, a lot of games will have like 13 pass attempts, 18 pass attempts. And, you know, I don't know. For me personally, I just would rather go a different route. That's just my take.
It's a good call. So the Kyle Trask stuff's really interesting. Thanks for the call, Josh. Thanks for listening, buddy. This is from Peter King's Football Morning in America column this morning. He said, and I'm a Kyle Trask fan, so mm-hmm. I like him, and I'd be cool. I think maybe the third is where you want Kyle Trask, but this is from Peter King. Said, Kyle Trask could go anywhere from the bottom of the first round to the fourth round. He's an incredible story. Have you heard this? This is wild. He never started a game in high school. He was playing behind De'Eriq King, who's currently at Miami.
Bad boy.
He got a scholarship offer out of a Florida football camp to play for the Gators. Otherwise, he was going to go to McNeese State. He redshirted in 2016.
Lake Charles, Louisiana.
Redshirted in 2016. Broke his foot in 2017. Broke his foot in 2018. Then he threw 68 touchdowns against 15 picks over the last 2 years. And the thing I go back to is how well, and everybody likes pointing to the bowl game where he looked bad. He looked bad against Oklahoma in the bowl game. They had like six opt-outs, but he did look bad. The way he played against Bama in the SEC title game was fantastic. Mm-hmm. He was really, really good in that game. I think why Trask has slipped a bit is that when you're just watching tape, you like him. But when you get to combine season and pro day season and workout season, his numbers, his athletic numbers don't wow you.
Yeah.
And I think that's why a guy slips. Take this for what you want. Kyle Trask also worked with John Beck. And John Beck quoted in this story of Trask, he threw with pro accuracy the entire time. Very consistent thrower and can really drive the ball. We talk about, Mac Jones has all this talent around him. Joe Burrow had all this talent around him. Trask had a ton of talent around him, too. I mean, the Gators have two guys that are going to go top 20. Pitts is the best player in the draft outside of Trevor Lawrence. And then Kadarius Toney is maybe Percy Harvin. He's got a very, very bright future. Let's go to our guy, Lou. Lou, you're on the Gambit DC listener lines.
JP, B. Mitch, man. What's going on?
What up, Lou?
What's up, Lou?
Not a whole lot, man. Like I keep saying, I think, you know, if they was going to go trade, you know, down, I would try to go take a tight end. But since we got the other tight end, like the project tight end, I'm not just going to, you know, I'm going to leave that alone. I would consider drafting a quarterback in the second or third round, maybe, because there's a bunch of quarterbacks that's out there that's going to, you know, be like the next Kirk Cousins. You never know. So I wouldn't, like, you know, the previous guy said, I mean, you could go ahead and try to take either the offensive line from Virginia Tech, Christian, or, you know, you needed a linebacker. So why not, you know, get the linebacker or the offensive tackle? That's my take. I think I just don't want to go down and, you know, because you already got two quarterbacks. Oh, you got three already, so you good for like the next 2 years. And I just think, you know, you could maybe get a quarterback in, you know, the next season or the season after. So you don't know what you have with Heineke. So you just saw one game, but you never know what that guy's going to turn out to be when the season starts. You know, if he takes over the job. So, you know, I just don't think that they should go ahead and trade down and try to get a quarterback. I think they should just go ahead and stay at 11 and either stay at 19, get a linebacker or the offensive tackle from Virginia Tech. That's what I think, man. Thanks for taking my call, man. B. Mitch, man, I'm still waiting on that gumbo, man.
We're all waiting on the gumbo.
Yeah, me too, Lou.
Thank you, Lou. Thank you, Lou. Listen, there's a lot of thought to just stay at 19, take the best player there. I'm not saying that's wrong either. I like the idea. Got a text from Grant Paulson, who was listening when we had Thor on the show, about the comparison of Mac Jones to Andy Dalton. And this is a really good point from Grant. There's this thought that every quarterback needs to become Dan Marino. That mm-hmm. that the only place you want a QB to get you is Hall of Fame. But Andy Dalton's had a good career. He got the Bengals to the playoffs a number of times. They never won in the playoffs. But it's similar when Lou just mentioned Kirk Cousins there. If Washington could draft a player that would give them Kirk Cousins production, that would be good. And there is this mindset like, oh, you only want a quarterback that's going to become the next, like how Justin Herbert looked this year or how Burrow looked before
but
the injury.
That's what the teams are looking for as well.
It's true.
It's not just fans. Teams are they're not looking for the next Andy Dalton. They're looking for the next Patrick Mahomes.
Sure.
They're looking for the next Joe Montana. They're looking for the top-notch quarterbacks. If you end up with an Andy Dalton for a long time, you know what? You're still saying, if we had Patrick Mahomes. You know what I'm saying? So
I think about it. Kansas City had Alex Smith and drafted Patrick Mahomes.
As good as Andy Dalton has been, teams still don't want to settle for that.
They drafted Joe Burrow. One more call here. Let's go to our guy, Eddie. Eddie in Centerville. What's up, buddy?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to say that I think the offense is already set and good to go with I trust Turner. I trust that whatever he's got in his mindset for the offense to work, I believe in him. So I'm going to go with just some kind of defensive player, like maybe Owusu or Kelly Farley from Virginia Tech. Now, these are Virginia people, so I like for the area to be with Washington football team. You know what I mean? So, I mean, I would love to get Micah Parsons, but at 19, I doubt he'll be there. So I'm just going with just please get a defensive player in the first round and go from there and build a franchise like that.
Thank you for the call.
I love you guys.
B, you've been saying this for a while. They've drafted first rounders on defense the last 5 years?
Yeah.
Right? Now, Haskins was in there too, but you go Chase, Montez, Payne, Allen.
It was 4 years, basically.
Who was the first rounder before Allen?
I can't remember.
Josh Doctson. Yee.
But the 4 years in a row, though, they got two interior guys and two outside guys.
All D-line.
D-line. And look how good they are. When you start stacking up the top, you look at this team, you say, oh, okay. On the other side of the ball, I don't think you do that. As well as they played last year. Still, could have gotten some better play out of it.
You want to hear something? In the last 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. In the last 10 years, the Washington football team has selected 4 offensive players in the first round. You ready for these names?
Name them.
Robert Griffin III.
Mm-hmm. Haskins.
Brandon Scherff. Josh Doctson. And Dwayne Haskins.
Okay. Brandon Scherff has been playing Pro Bowl caliber football, has he?
Yep.
How about get somebody, some other people like Brandon Scherff, and I guarantee you, those other guys that play behind him, they'll be playing Pro Bowl caliber football too.
But can we just talk about this? 4 offensive players in the first round in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
RG3. Bust might not be the right word, but it sure as hell didn't work out long
Didn't
term.
Last long enough.
Haskins.
Quick.
Doctson.
Ugh.
And Scherff.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what you can definitively say. Only one of the 4 players that they drafted on offense in the last 10 years was good over the life of his contract. Only one of the 4 players got a second contract with the team.
Mm.
And 2 of their first round picks were released before their entire contract played out.
Enough said.
Woof. You want to know the opposite of that? My guy John Leahy's selling houses.
All right.
John Leahy is the opposite of the Washington track record for offensive players selected in the first round. You know why? Because he maximizes the value of the operation.
All right, Rick and Betty need to sell their family home in Silver Spring, and they turn to DMV's best agent, Jonathan Leahy. In order to maximize their equity, they utilize Leahy's group's resources and had the home upgraded. The result? Within 24 hours, the home sold over list, which was $55,000 above a comparable house just a few doors down the street. John's strategic marketing and huge buyer demand is selling homes up to $70,000 over asking. Just think of what you can buy with the extra $70,000. You can get a bigger house, all new furniture, appliances. Giant offers flexible fees customized to your needs. Jonathan Leahy of eXp Realty.
5.5%. 5.5% more money by selling your house with John Leahy. You know how much that is? If you sell your house for $800,000, that's $44,000 more going back into your pocket.
A lot of cheddar.
It's a no-brainer. Call John today, 301-651-4900, or go online to johnsellsdmv.com. That's johnsellsdmv.com, and start packing. Beamish and Finley, we are back. Plenty of strong discussion about the NFL draft today.
Football is king, baby.
Always. Coming to king, you best not miss. I did want to hold two quick pop quizzes. Everybody ready?
I don't like pop quizzes.
When Thor Nystrom was talking about deep round QB prospects,
mm-hmm.
he mentioned Shane Buechele. Mm. And I will confess that I didn't know who that was.
I've never heard of him.
Okay, so B-Mitch has confessed as well. Cody Betts, you got anything on Shane Buechele?
Texas.
Like the state?
He's not wrong about the University of Texas, because that's where he played before he transferred to SMU.
Lanfield's such a geek cheater. Like, he 100% Googled him.
Actually didn't. I knew that right off the top of the dome.
B.S.
I did.
How?
I watched a bunch of SMU games, not last year, but the year before.
Why?
Because I have no life.
I thought he was from Louisiana. Looked like Bobby Boucher to me.
It sounded like a Louisiana guy to me. He's from Dallas. So, all right, Lanfield. Let's get the scouting report on Shane Buechele.
Scouting report. I'm not particularly excited for a guy who somehow lost the quarterback competition to Sam Ellinger, or Ellinger, however you say it.
People, because he played quarterback at Texas, I get people tweeting me, what do you think about Ellinger to the Washington football team? No thanks.
No.
That's the scouting report on
nope.
Ellinger.
Not excited at all.
Shane Buechele, 6'1", 207. Dude, skinny.
6'1", 207 by the quarterback size.
After a bad weekend, I'm 207.
Is Sonny Dykes the SMU head coach?
He might be built different than you, though, JP.
I imagine he is built differently.
That's the mind behind Jared Goff. So, you know, how can you miss with Shane Buechele there?
Listen, it's easy to mock Goff. If Washington had Goff, they'd be better.
I mean, I get, maybe.
That's one of the things that we get lost on. I want the Washington football team to get the next Patrick Mahomes. Let me be crystal clear about that. You know how much better all of our lives would be if Washington finally had a legit answer at quarterback? Mm. I want that to occur.
Yes,
I would love a start. You know how much fun 2012 was before it went awry? The 2012 football season was like casino. When they get out to Vegas and they're making all this money, and Sharon Stone's just incredibly gorgeous, and everybody's partying and everybody's happy, and then it all starts to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, it's Goodfellas when Ray Liotta starts doing way too much blow. Like, but yeah. Prior to that, it's great. And then the cops show up and people start dying. That was the 2012 season. It was the incredible rise of every gangster movie,
uh-huh.
And then it was the demise.
Everybody wants a little something.
But how much fun was that when Robert was great?
It was fun.
It was incredible.
I think you have to have, when you're having success, if people can stay up in the mindset of I have to work to get better, instead of now I need credit.
Sure.
That screws up the whole thing.
Totally. But not everybody's going to be Tom Brady and Patrick Mahomes. And so if Washington could just get better, and I think Fitzpatrick is a better quarterback than what they've had, and I think he'll give them a good season. The problem is he's older. You probably can't count on that for 5-7 years.
Nope, can't.
So if they could take Kyle Trask or Mac Jones or Kellen Mond, whoever the guy is, and he's just good for them, that would be a step in the right direction. So we should all, what is the cheesy phrase? Shoot for the stars and you might miss and make it to the moon or something? I don't know.
Shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you end up among the stars.
Sure.
There you go.
Let's shoot for the moon. But I don't know that they're going to get to the moon this offseason.
But I just think having back-to-back consistency, years of consistency in quarterbacks, that might help.
Absolutely. Think about how bad they've been. I just want decent.
Yeah.
You and I talk about this plenty, B. I always wonder what Santana Moss's career would have looked like had he ever had consistent, good quarterback play. Because I think Santana was a star.
Yes, he was.
If Reggie Wayne lands in Washington and Santana Moss lands with the Colts, how much different do their careers look?
Sure, man.
Right?
Yes.
Terry McLaurin put up 1,100 yards last year with awful quarterback play. How much better can he be?
Much.
We're going to talk to Will Brinson in just a few minutes here. I'm curious what Will thinks about the 19th pick and what is going to happen third overall. That is really becoming an interesting debate as Justin Fields and Trey Lance seem to have surpassed Mac Jones again and probably rightfully. But I got another pop quiz. I am prepared today to right a previous wrong. Does anybody know what that will be?
We don't have a clue. You have so many of them.
I didn't think I had that many.
Yes, you do.
That's a solid point from BMH. There's so many wrongs that need righting. We just don't know where to start.
I brought you a steak sandwich.
Oh, you did?
I did.
Okay.
So we'll have steak sandwiches. Maybe at noon?
Hey, as soon as you get it, I'm good with it.
I have it. I'm worried, though, because I know you like all of your food hot.
Yeah.
So I don't know what to do for you there.
I'll work it out.
Okay.
Yeah.
High noon steak sandwich. I want an honest steak sandwich review from B. Mitch of what I think is a terrific sandwich.
One thing I know, you know how to cook beef.
I think the potato roll is we'll get there. We got a call. We'll do a quick call real quick before we go to Will Brinson. Darren, what's up, pal? You're on the Gambit DC Listener Lines.
Good morning, gentlemen. I appreciate you taking my call, man. I was listening to Thor speak on the second-tier quarterbacks, and it sounds like Kirk Cousins options to me. And I really don't think that that's the best option for the organization moving forward. To me, it just sounds like maybe even waiting on another year and just building up the offense with more pieces like, you know, receivers like a Rashad Bateman or something, you know, adding more pieces and then dropping the quarterback in next year for that quarterback that they may love, because it doesn't sound like it's a quarterback to love after you get past Lance or Field. So I think the thing is to build an offense, continue to build a defense, and drop the quarterback in next year. And then this year we'll probably go like 9-7 or 9-8,
you know,
something like
that. Got another game this year.
17 game season. I was sitting here thinking, like, that math ain't right, but thank you. But, yeah, I think it's time to wait, man, and just build a team. Build the pieces around the offense, get the offensive line, you know, back up the, you know, top notch, and just see what happens next year, because I don't think a Kirk Cousins option is the best option to move forward with the franchise.
If you had a Kirk Cousins option with support,
Organizational support.
I think that would be damn good.
That's what I'm trying to say. And Darren, thank you for the call.
Appreciate it.
Good is still good. Everybody wants great, but good is good.
But becoming
Jimmy Garoppolo went to a Super Bowl.
Being good for 3, 4, 5 years, and then you finally get one and be great. Because let's be real, what's the kid in Lawrence? There's a Lawrence in the draft next year.
Who knows, man? Joe Burrow wasn't Joe Burrow until, right? Zach Wilson wasn't Zach Wilson until this year. So you never know about next year. But
that's what I think about it, though. I don't think you keep waiting. If you can get something that's going to be better and consistent, you start moving on that. And then maybe somebody falls in your lap and becomes that guy. And we'll see.
Quick break. We're coming back with Will Brinson from CBS Sports.
Hey, it's Brian Mitchell here, and like almost everybody else, I was no stranger to packing on a few pounds this winter. Listen, one thing about diet programs and things of that nature, eating right, people always think they can outrun a bad diet. You can't do that. What you need to do is make sure you go over to EMP 180, get you a coach like I have and my man Kurt. He can start telling you how to eat properly, and you'll start figuring out if you have a bad diet, and you are working out every day, you won't get the results you want. But if you start eating the right things, you don't have to work out as hard. Getting the proper nutrition in your body is what's going to make you begin to lose the body fat and begin to get to the right size that you want to be. Listen, I've been going in there with Kurt over and over again, learning more about my body, learning my schedule, and understanding the things that I can eat and not eat. Listen, I come from Louisiana. Rice was in every meal, and that's why I couldn't get rid of some of the things around the area. I'm getting rid of some of that inner tube, and on the golf course, I'm starting to be able to turn, hit the ball even straighter. So I'm getting happy with my body and also the things that I can do with it, riding bikes, doing all those different things. But I want to share with you EMP180's Weight No More promotion. You get an 8-week personalized nutrition program, remote or in person, customized to meet your needs. Just like I have, you'll get your very own dedicated health and wellness coach to motivate you, educate you, and guide you throughout your journey. Special spring pricing because they are that serious about helping you. You also get a gift. Once you get that body right, you get a gift certificate to Lululemon, Patagonia, Athletica, Roan, or your favorite activewear retailer. They want you to look as good as you feel. So call EMP180 at 855-888-0180 or visit them at EMP180.com. Feel better, look better, live better.
B. Mitch and Finley back, 106.7 The Fan. It is time to go to the BetQL guest line. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's bring in our friend, Mr. Will Brinson from CBS Sports at CBS Sports HQ. Will, what's going on, buddy? How are you?
What's going on, guys? I'm sure you saw that Alex Smith is retiring. So
yeah, we just saw that. We just saw that, and I think it was the right move. And I kind of think we're going to take a bunch of calls on this. This will be a big story for us.
Yeah.
I think the reality is people are freaked out about putting him back on the field. And I know he doesn't want to embrace that, but I just – Ron Rivera said it openly and on the record, and I think lots of coaches feel the same way.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, look, I think a lot of people in general feel the same way. It was – I mean, it was a cool story. You know, he obviously deserved the comeback player of the year last year. Mm-hmm. He got out there, you know, you get Washington to the playoffs. But, man, I mean, you felt a little dirty, like, watching him play, or a little worried watching him play just because you're like, ah.
Yeah.
You know, if this goes south, it goes real south. And I don't know. I know he probably wants to keep playing, but the reality for him is that, you know, there's not a starting job available out there. He probably could have teamed up with Urban Meyer. You know, go be the backup to Trevor Lawrence and help work with him. But, you know, how much are teams willing to invest in a backup who they're concerned about putting on the field? There you know, that doesn't really, you know, jive.
You know, I don't know if any other team – Washington took a bad rap because the little story came out and things of that nature. I don't think they should have. I don't think any other team would have given him the opportunity that they gave him last year.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think that – Ron Rivera necessarily wanted to give him the opportunity, to be perfectly yeah. frank. I think in a perfect world, Ron Rivera, you know, Dwayne Haskins is mature enough and works in his system from a holistic standpoint enough that, you know, he can play the entire season for them. And ultimately it just came down to, we don't really have any other options. Everybody's hurt or cut, and Alex Smith, let's go, buddy.
Right. And I think some of it was contractual and ownership, even. Like, he was under contract, and there was no real out for the 2020 season, just with the cap hit they would have taken. And yep. he had full support from ownership, so it kind of just went that way. I want to switch gears, Will, while we have you, to the upcoming NFL draft. That's where all the focus is going to be. Who do you think – we know Trevor Lawrence 1, Zach Wilson 2. Who do you think will go third, and who do you think should go third?
Okay, so, I mean, look, this is – I have taken a sizable position on Mac Jones over 3.5.
Ooh, I like it.
And additionally have taken – I took a sizable position last week on Justin Fields at about 3-1 to be the third overall pick when the odds were so heavily skewed in Mac Jones' favor. And, you know, you started to hear some buzz that – it could be Fields at three. And the crazy logic for Fields at three, and it incorporates why Mac Jones, you know, why the Mac Jones heat happened when the trade went down, was 5 weeks before the draft. If you're the 49ers and you're Kyle Shanahan and you're John Lynch and you trade up to the number three spot and you're going to take a quarterback and you think that quarterback's going to be Justin Fields, you don't want to broadcast that, because if you broadcast that, what it does is it alerts the Jets, who, by the way, are almost staffed entirely by former Kyle Shanahan proteges, that you really love Justin Fields. And then maybe you give the Jets an opportunity to dive back into Justin Fields, to look further into him. And now it sort of feels like they're pretty pot committed to Zach Wilson, which is perfectly fine. You know, that's the guy that they decided on. And it doesn't make a lot of sense to me to trade three first round picks to move up to the third overall pick and take Mac Jones. Maybe I'm wrong and he does develop into, you know, exactly what Kyle Shanahan wants. I can see the logic in it, because you have an accurate guy who doesn't make mistakes. You know, he completes a high percentage of his passes, you know, just not going to turn the ball over, and will work immediately in that system. But don't you really have that in Jimmy Garoppolo? Mm-hmm. You know, and so if you go with Justin Fields, you're talking about bringing in a guy with insane athleticism, who tough as nails. And by the way, he's been working with the Shanahan since high school, because he's part of that QB collective thing. So I think it's going to be Fields. I guess there's a case we made as Trey Lance as well, just because of his upside, his rushing ability. And if you have Jimmy G, you know, you can sit on Lance for a year. But I think they want to be able to win in 2021 and 2022, like win a Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that they want to risk the floor of Mac Jones, or, you know, the low floor of Trey Lance, or the low ceiling of Mac Jones, which is why, to me, I think it's Justin Fields at three.
And like, JP and I talk about this, this time of the year, we don't know what's factual, what's true, what's lies. For you, what? How do you disseminate all the different things that pop up, that comes out? You go, this is a bunch of BS.
Well, yeah, I mean, it's hard. You gotta know who to trust. You gotta know sort of how to filter things out. I think one of the things that's interesting and is, how many times have we ever seen a leak that was accurate, or like, how many times have the 49ers, since Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch took over, like been a leaky ship? It never happens. You know, they traded DeForest Buckner, you know, right, to the Colts, and that nobody saw that coming. Their picks, you know, they took Reuben Foster, Solomon. We just haven't heard a bunch of leaks. And so you're telling me that they never leak anything out, and then suddenly they trade up to three, and five or six people around the league, including Chris Sims, who is boys with Kyle Shanahan, all these people know that they're taking Mac Jones. It just doesn't pass the smell test. And I think in that case, I mean, again, you wouldn't want to let the world know that you're taking Mac Jones. And they execute the trade the day that Kyle Shanahan's at Mac Jones' pro day. He's like grinning, like, yeah, you don't have to worry about much. And then everybody says that. To me, there's a lot of red flags there. And I think you just have to know who to trust, who to listen to, and understand that it is the season of disinformation, and that most of what you read and hear will probably be false.
Well, and my contention is that we have our best version of the draft board, or what we think will happen in the NFL draft. That exists New Year's Day. Or whatever whenever they play all the last bowl games in college football. Like, that mindset is so much closer to being accurate than what we hear over the 4 months of combine, pro day, draft, athleticism, all this other stuff, especially with quarterbacks. Because, I mean, for a guy like Justin Fields, all this stuff we've heard go back and forth, you're right. Like, it never made – when the Niners traded up, it never made sense it was going to be Mac Jones third overall. And maybe it still will, and we'll all be proved wrong. But I'm totally with you. I think a lot of really smart talent evaluators were always saying Fields was never getting past 10. And then you start seeing people projecting him going 25th. Yeah, and it's like, No, man, that's just not going to happen.
Like, I wasn't a huge Justin Fields guy for much of the year, and that's fine. I thought he struggled against the blitz, and I just sort of wasn't a believer with how he played against some of those, you know,
Indiana game, Northwestern game. Yeah.
You watch him play against Clemson. Like, I mean, if you watch that game, you watch that game. You watch that man make those throws,
especially after the big hit.
Like, a punctured kidney. Like, right. He's like dragging his liver behind him. And you're telling me that guy's a 25th overall pick? I don't think so.
See, and the excitement that you're exuding right now, Will, is the same way when I watched that actual game. I was like, I don't give a damn what anybody say. This dude can play.
Totally.
I had a bunch of money on Clemson because I thought Brent Venables would unleash the blitz. And it feels a struggle, and Trevor Lawrence would have a field day. No pun intended. And instead, it was the complete opposite. I mean, they were so prepared, and they utilized him perfectly. And he throws strikes down the field. Yes. I mean, some of those deep field. And if you think about what Kyle Shanahan wants to do, like, I understand how Mac Jones, above average athlete, really smart decision maker, but Justin Fields, if you can get him on the move, he's so athletic. You know, those bootlegs that Kyle Shanahan does, and people are like, oh, well, like, you know, like, like, what about the RPOs with RG3? It's like, that's not Kyle Shanahan's offense. Like,
no, that was Robert Griffin's offense.
But, right, that was a hastily fashioned offense by Mike and Kyle because they didn't want to get fired after they drafted the guy they didn't want at second overall. Anyway, I think what Fields does with the ability to move and the ability to take shots down the field, when you look at those weapons, I mean, Kyle Shanahan's going to give you easy looks and easy reads because that's how his offense is designed. And with Deebo Samuel, Brandon Ayuk, I mean, you put Justin Fields in there, you give him a year to learn if Jimmy Garoppolo plays well, and if Jimmy stinks or gets hurt, Fields you feel comfortable putting in there. Mac Jones, I think you do too. I don't know how you can feel comfortable putting Trey Lance in there, which is why I just lean towards Fields.
Yeah, I think the Lance thing's a longer-term development. Washington sits at 19. I just did a full hour explaining why they're not trading up for Trey Lance, despite some of those reports out there. What do you think they do? Do you think there is a trade up? Basically, I'm dismissing any notion of them trading to number four for Trey Lance. Go ahead, please.
Well, here's the deal with four, and I think this is important to note, is that while people are not recognizing what the Falcons did this offseason with Matt Ryan's contract, they restructured his contract in a way that he is going to be on the roster for 2 years. They're not going to take a $40 million, $30 million cap hit, dead cap hit, to move on. You know, I mean, maybe that changes if they just absolutely love, Justin Fields and he's there, or if, you know, they believe Trey Lance needs to sit for 2 years and they want to bring him in. But, I mean, still, Matt Ryan would be there for two more years. I think what's more likely is that Arthur Smith believes he can win games now. He's told Arthur Blank that. Arthur Blank loves Matt Ryan. He knows that they're going to have him for two more years. They know they'll get good play from him. And they're just going to sit there at four and say, listen, if anybody wants to trade up, we are open and more than willing to listen. But nobody, whether it's Washington, New England, or Denver, is going to pay the price to get up to number four after what they saw it cost to get to number three. So the Falcons are going to sit there. They're going to take the best player on the board. They're just going to take Kyle Pitts and call it a day and move on. And no one's going to get mad at you for taking Kyle Pitts fourth overall.
No, not at all.
I think he's going to be a stud. Not at all. Big time. Brinton, you're the best, man.
Appreciate it,
and we'll try to get you on maybe next week or after the draft to recap.
Absolutely,
all this
man.
Stuff.
Yeah, we'll chat next week. See you, boys.
I hope you get rich off Mac Jones sliding to 10 or wherever he goes. That was the great Will Brinton from CBS Sports. Coming up next, I want to play. Alex Smith announced his retirement via Instagram, and it's a really, really neat thing to hear. So we're going to play that coming up next. And then I want your calls, 800-636-1067. How are you going to remember Alex Smith?
Wow.